Welcome to Ever Beyond.
Broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network. Please join us in the chat room at wolfspiritmedia.net.
Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond.
Tune in with TalkStream Live, search for Ever Beyond. Also, you can call to listen on 712-432-9588. Selected archives are also available on my YouTube channel, Studio 9 Jam. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
And I've just muted, yeah, that's right, I pressed the button because I had my mic live. So anyway, hello again. 14th of January, I just noticed that the BU meters weren't moving when I was talking. So 14th of January, 2017, this is Ever Beyond on Ever Beyond Radio, broadcast through Wolf Spirit Radio, a part of the Alternative Sunday Service here on Wolf Spirit Radio. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning. How is everybody? I hope you're all well. Despite all the stuff that's going on, everybody seems to have Australian flu, Japanese flu, bird flu, cat flu, I don't know, whatever flu. And, I'm not feeling too well myself. So, and neither completely, you know, everybody's only running about as of maybe 85, 90%. So, we'll keep it going. It's January. There's a low energy swoop in January, so let's hope that we pick it up and move it on for the next series of shows. But for tonight, we have something rather special. We have Sandy Lafferty, and Sandy was introduced to me by Mick Daly, who is a an old friend of mine and a music promoter. We met in the music days rather than radio days, but he's now moving into that sort of stuff as well. So thank you very much, Mick. I hope you're well and probably you're listening. There we are. Great, yeah, got a message from him. So tonight my guest is Sandy Lafferty. Good afternoon, Sandy. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
we're probably about, 85%, doing good enough. I've had a kind of spontaneous feeling of nausea and sickness in it. It just reminds me of some old symptoms that I haven't had for many, many years, and it's like, oh no, not this again. But maybe it isn't. Maybe I can just reprogram this and make myself feel better or whatever. But I might have to dash off and play some music halfway through the show if needs be. Likewise, if you do too, Sandy. So having prefaced that with those potential disclaimers, welcome to Sandy. How are you doing?
Well, thank you very much for having me on your show, Jay. It's really appreciated. I'm doing okay. We were just chatting, so if anybody out there hears me coughing and barking like a dog, please do forgive me. I, too, am fighting a bit of the dreaded lurgy, so hopefully that's going to not be too interruptive. But it's a real pleasure to be here, so thank you very much.
Great. So I don't know if Mick told you about my show, but I tend to talk about, I mean, we do a multitude of things. We talk about the, I talk about the seven rays an awful lot, and sometimes I do free readings on the air, and other times I'll speak to guests, but there's the recurrent theme throughout it is what began your expansion, your moment of like, this is, there's more to life than this, surely. What was that moment for you?
I think with me, it was more of a stranger, kind of like the reverse. As a young child, especially, I would, I didn't understand that other people didn't see things quite like I did, so to speak. And for me, it was more, I kind of figured out probably, what would I be? I don't know, maybe about 9 or 10, that other people didn't quite see things or pick things up the way I could. My grandmother had died, and I went in and told my mom a couple hours before we got any phone calls or anything. So, you know, you can imagine that didn't go over well. So I think for me it kind of was the reverse, is I came to recognize that not everybody necessarily could pick up things the way I could. And then I sort of went through, especially in my teens and my 20s, I went through a period of where I just, you know, I was trying to be as normal, quote unquote, as I could. And then I've had a few life experiences where, you know, things sort of really blew apart, and you kind of get to that point where you're like, okay, so whatever was going on with me when I was much younger had come more to the forefront. And then it just sort of expanded. You start looking at, you know, okay, where are we going into past life regression? And, oh, wait a minute, now we can future pace. And you know, there's just so much quantum healing, quantum physics. I mean, I could rattle on forever. But it sort of becomes where, for me, it was more like I finally accepted that I was a little strange, because that's how I'm, you know, came to understand myself. And I had these sort of abilities that maybe some other people didn't. And from there, it just, there was some moments where it would just explode for me, but there was other times where it just kept growing, and it was almost like I would go down one path and suddenly veer off and start going down another path and exploring different things. And it just kind of grew that way for me, I guess is maybe the best way I can explain it to you.
So, you said a few words there, quantum healing, quantum, and other quantum, techniques. What's your favorite thing? What was the thing that really, really drew your attention towards it?
To what, the quantum healing or,
yes,
or towards, like, to quantum healing? Sort of, I think it's probably back about, oh gosh, aging myself here, about 20 years ago. And, you know, my mom was dying of cancer at the time, and there was this thing that I could never quite place. How come you get two people with exactly the same diagnosis, exactly the same kind of cancer, same age, everything's identical. One thrives and lives, the other dies. If it's just about medicine, then either both get well or both die, and it always perplexed me. I'm like, well, what's missing here? Why is this person getting well and that person's just deteriorating? And it's like, you know, you start searching for what's missing, what's missing, what's missing. And then it kind of comes down to where you go, wait a minute, there's something within us. We're either tapping into the quantum field, or we're already connected into it and we're doing spontaneous healing. And so that was kind of like a big awakening for me. But it was something, you know, when you always have something niggling in the back of your head, like, it just didn't make sense to me in my mind. And that's what I guess I was seeking, searching for that.
The missing thing.
Yeah. What's different in these situations that should be exactly the same? They should be identical. And I think that's what's always pushed me. It's like, you know, often science will explain something. And I don't mean science as in quantum science. I'm talking more of regular science. And I go, that doesn't make any sense. You know, it's either got to be all the same, or it's either this way or that way. Do you understand what I mean? And there was always this missing factor in it. And I think that's always been what's kind of pulled me, is to try and understand, well, if they're the same sort of situation or circumstances, why are those so vastly different? And, sorry, I'm rambling like a crazy fool here. There was also a couple of experiences where I go into really deep meditation, and I don't know where the hell I went. And when I say that, I mean I went so deep. And I came out, I remember feeling like just such a connectedness, a bliss. The only way I could explain it to you is it felt like I'd gone home. And I came out of it, and this was self-induced. I didn't want to come out. I wanted to stay in that place, that bliss, that joy, that feeling of being connected to part of everything, but and expanded, but at the same time, you know, still me. Do you understand where I'm going?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to come out. And that kind of made me go, well, hey, how come we can go into that other realm? What else is past us? And maybe that's where I started going down a lot of hypnotherapy, kind of, not so much hypnotherapy, but using hypnosis trance-like states to go deeper. And I was doing this for a while, and suddenly I was watching stuff on YouTube and reading stuff, and I came across a woman named Dolores Cannon, and kind of laughed at myself and went, oh my God, I've been doing that, but I didn't know that's what it was I was doing.
I see. So, yes, I mean, the subject of hypnosis, I was talking about this last night, actually, that when I was a kid, my brother-in-law had a bookcase, and in that bookcase was a bunch of books, and the one that really attracted me was, I think it's called, his name was Michael Rodney, it's two first names, and it was called Adventures of Hypnotist, and he basically, you know, would regress people and then regress them toward, you know, beyond their birth and see what happened. And some of the things were really, I mean, they totally convinced me. I mean, they were very normal everyday lifetimes, but elsewhere and then elsewhen. And that's fascinated me ever since. And starting to get into like what were my own past lives, that gets, you know, things get really strange, and go a long way back. So when you say you relate to, you went to a place you call home, can you describe it? And also, did you kind of have a reference point that you could then take back and go back there anytime you wanted to?
To go as deep as when I call the place home, to go as deep by myself, because one of the things I would say, what I found is if I'm doing it for you, you've got my voice to help guide you, and I can see how deep you're going, and I can push you deeper and deeper and deeper. To do it to yourself, it's kind of like you're trying to be the one going under and the one operating it. So sometimes that has been difficult to just jump in and out of it. But when I can, the only thing I can say about this, and even now I get that overwhelming feeling coming through me too, it's sort of like, if you said describe what it looked like, all I can tell you is it looked like light, and it looked like, you know, I remember seeing rolling hills everywhere, but they weren't real hills. They were kind of like fading in and out, and I often have thought that might be from I like nature. You know what I mean? So it was putting it that there for me, and I would say it was more predominantly this feeling of I knew I had gone home. I sensed that there was other souls around me. This only way I can describe the state was an absolute state of pure joy and pure bliss. And when I came out of that meditation, there were tears coming down my cheeks. Could I describe it as in say, it looked like, you know, it had a greenhouse or something like that? No, it was as if everything sort of shifted and shaped, but I felt like, as if I wasn't connected to Earth, as if I had gone further than that, you know, into, you want to say the universe, particles, whatever the hell you want to call, you want to call it. But it felt like that's what I'd become rather than just me. But when I say I could sense other souls, I guess what I'm really saying is I could sense there was other beings there, and we were all in that really kind of high vibrational feeling. But I couldn't say, oh, well, it looked like this or it looked like that. And when I say that, what I'm trying to say, Jay, is I couldn't say, oh, well, it had streets. It had light bulbs or anything like that. It was more just kind of like fluidness. And you felt as if you were connected to everything. And if you focused on one thing, it would come. And then when you let your focus go, something else would come in. Does that make sense to you, if I can explain it that way?
Wow, sounds beautiful. Sounds like home. sounds like Mira to me. But anyway, that's very interesting. And yeah, so as I said, I've had this interest in past life regressions and the whole concept of past lives. And then it gets to like, what's time? Well, time doesn't really exist. And you know, there's this whole, you know, that quantum means that it's all there, all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so I imagine that your higher self, your guides, have taken you on a journey to learn mm-hmm. something and to learn stuff. What would you say was the first thing that you kind of brought back from one of these journeys that was, oh, I couldn't get this anywhere else?
If I think back, the first time I sort of spontaneously did it, I wasn't trying to do anything. And I was probably in around my mid-20s at that point in time. And the first kind of message I got real, real clear was, we're never going to die. We don't actually die. We've come into this existence and we believe that this is our body, but we don't actually die. And I think that was something really profound at that young age for me, because when you're in your early 20s, you know, you think you're not going to die, but it's more of a mortal thing, if that makes any sense to you. You think you're going to live forever. But this was a sense of we never actually cease to exist, if that would make sense, if I put it to you that way. The things that I've got when I've gone into those moments other times is that everything, every single thing around us, everything you can imagine, it all has an essence and we're all connected. It's almost like as if you're weaving a tapestry. Everything, if you pull one thread, you're going to pull off a big part of it. Would that make sense if I explain it to you that way?
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it. I talk about the seven rays. The book that is the textbook for that is called The Tapestry of the Gods, and it's our frequencies as we weave through life. So yes, it's perfectly. Perfect description. Yeah,
when I think about those times too, that's what I would say. It's breaking up on me a bit here, Jay.
Yeah, sorry, I lost you. There was a little break.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Can you hear me? Maybe I will reset the call. Let's just try that.
Yeah, it's just breaking up a bit.
There we go. Okay, how's
that? We seem to be breaking up a little bit here, Jay.
All right, but you're coming through clearly, so you keep talking.
All on me then, is it?
You're the guest.
Thank you.
They already know my voice and my story.
What I like is when you talk about, when you talk about the past life regression and stuff like that, and how so much of it can be mundane. And it might sound mundane to us, but to the person experiencing it, everybody that I've ever worked with has always come back and had some great insight. Obviously, when you train for it, you also get it done to you. And, just a little bit of a story is I've ridden off and on since I've been about 3 or 4 years old. I can remember being on Shetland ponies, and yet I was terrified of Shire horses. They just scared the bejesus out of me. Especially when they'd run down the field. And then one of the past life regressions, I was a little girl about 2 years old in New York, maybe 2 or 3, and a runaway carriage with guess what kind of horses ran over me.
Uh-huh.
And it gives you that, you go, oh, because I used to think, oh, what am I, crazy? I'm around horses all the time. Why do they scare me? It just didn't make any logical sense. And you probably have gained that even though I have a very spiritual side, it has to make, to me, I don't care if the rest of the world doesn't find it logical, it has to make some kind of logical sense in my head for me to be able to get my head around it. So that was one. I've had people that I've worked with that no way in hell they had ever done any world traveling or, learned to speak another language or anything like that. They'll go under. They'll come back out, it's when you're in that process, and they'll speak fluent Japanese. And the only reason I recognize that is because I lived in Victoria. And also my kids were learning basic Japanese. So I recognized some of the words she was saying, and it went, oh, Japanese. So how does somebody that's never had those experiences go back and experience something like that? And in that particular one is basically she was a monk. She was brought into the Second World War. She was made to fire, I guess it's anti-aircraft guns and torpedoes and stuff like that. And when I say she was actually a man in that lifetime. And she was terrified of Japanese people. Anything Japanese, just, you know, it's like some irrational phobia. And when we took her back, it explained it all to her, and she no longer had that fear. And then I had another lady that had bizarre headaches. She went through x-rays, MRIs, like you name it. They couldn't find any reason why she had this strange headache that always appeared on the left side of her head. And when we took her back, she had lived to a very old age. And this was like back in the late 1700s, early 1800s kind of thing. So living up to your 70s then, you would have been considered absolutely historic, you know, prehistoric rather. All her family had died, and she'd fallen and hit her head on the slate floors and bled out over 3 days. Horrible death. When we went back there and we looked at it, and I, you know, sort of gave her the instructions that that doesn't belong to you, don't bring it back into this present lifetime, and the headaches just went. So I'm firm believer, and not only can it give you an experience that can enlighten and give you great insights into this life, but it also has healing perception or perspectives too. I'm sorry, as you know, I'm sick, so I'm mumbling my words here, and please forgive me, people.
That's okay, you're doing really well.
So when I see stuff like that happen, I've never had anybody come to me and, you know, say they're Cleopatra, or they're Mark Anthony, or, you know, even a king or a queen. The closest I've come is some people being like Sumerian priestesses or Babylonian priestesses or priests. And I've never had anybody that's, you know, come to me and said, I think I'm Mary Queen of Scots or anything like that. And if they did, I'd probably really be considering whether or not there was something else going on for them that had nothing to do with past life regression.
That's right. Well, but, you know, people are, not cub drivers, but, you know, horse drivers and blacksmiths and whatever people. Do you find that the things that people did in their past lives tally in with the things that they're doing in their present lives? Are they the same kind of people?
I would say yes and no. It seems to have one or two effects. Either they've brought something through that's beneficial to them, or they've brought something true but skewed it somehow. Now, one of the things I remember quite distinctly is working with this woman who, she was definitely from, you know, a very good middle-class background. And when she'd walked into the room, she'd parked out on the street, and she's talking to me. You could quite clearly discern this woman was extremely racist. And when we took her back, when I say take her back, I mean when we did the regression, she had been a male, and that freaked her out quite a bit, finding out she could be a man. And then, you know, as we were going through, she'd actually been a black man that was a slave and treated horrifically. And instead of getting the message in this lifetime to not be a racist, and not project that onto anybody else, she took part of the message. So instead of being black is bad if you're a slave, she brought back black is bad. Do you understand how the message can get, some of it gets deleted?
Wow, just a single word, huh?
Yeah, just take out a couple words. And that's the message she brought back. Now, I also worked with, he's quite a well-known medium. I don't know if you know of him. His name's David Holt. And he had this pull for the states that he would cry when, you know, like become emotionally overwhelmed when you talk about Georgia. And yet he'd never been at that time. He's been now. He'd never been there. And it was, he'd get really emotional. Anyway, we took him back, and usually I'll let them go through a couple of regressions. But on one, he was in the Civil War and his whole family was wiped out, and you'll never guess where he lived.
Georgia.
Georgia. Georgia on my mind, honey. And then in this other one, he was actually a medium slash psychic, whatever you want to call it, in another lifetime. And he brought some of that back into this lifetime. So I think, you know, having said that, I will also want to say that I usually don't do 10 different lifetimes with them when they're under, because otherwise I'd be sat here for probably 24 hours straight. So we only kind of go through two or three at a time. And like I said, there's either where they've brought in something back that either they should have left, like the lady that bled out. And it's really funny. I can remember her previous life name, but to this day I can't actually remember her name. Weird. So there's somebody that needs the healing. The Japanese, the woman that was terrified of Japanese people, she needed the healing from that. Sometimes they need to have the recognition. This will shock you. I've actually had men experience labor pains. And I'm sorry, but I'm a female in this lifetime. And Jay, there is an evil twin inside of me once in a while that goes, yeah, I should really pull him out of there. Bring him up. Nah, let's just give him one more.
Let him chew a bit. Okay, I see.
I think every female has that. What can I say? But he was clutching his stomach and, you know, writhing with the pain and everything. Don't worry, people. I'm not that evil. I didn't allow him to stay down there feeling that for very long, but it did cross my mind. and, you know, it's like you can see them convulsing with pain or somebody gets shot and you'll see the body jerk. I've had it where this is something I found so interesting. Often where somebody has had a gunshot wound or some other kind of wound and that's how they died. In this lifetime, Jay, they bring a birthmark.
I will say, if he's, right, okay, I was born with a bald patch on my right temple.
Okay.
And that's where I was shot by a Nazi soldier.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. I've seen people where, it was a younger guy I was working with and he'd been shot. And it's funny because where his t-shirt wasn't, you know, right up to his neck and he kind of was pulling it down in the regression and I could see he was rubbing a spot where he'd been shot. And then when we came out, we were doing the debriefing, I said, no, I was there, you kept touching your chest right there. Did you actually feel that bullet? He goes, yeah, and it's right where my birthmark is. And there's a lot of that where it's like, you know, somebody will have an arrow or a sword go through their leg and they've got strange markings that almost look like that wound. Like this gentleman that had the bullet wound, he had one in the front and one matching in the back. And it literally looked, you know, it was almost
entry
like
an exit wound.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it is where we do bring a lot of it back. And I think there's times it's helping us and times it's working to our detriment. But we have the ability to go back and heal it. Or I think we also have the ability to go back. Let's say there's part of something that you're trying to do. We can actually go back into another lifetime or into whether you want to call it parallel or whatever, where we could actually achieve that or we we were accomplished in that skill and we can bring that through too.
So that's very interesting. The parallels, right? The first regression I had with, one of the hosts on this station, was not to a past life, but to a parallel past life in a timeline where the Rothschilds hadn't have taken over. Mm. And it's a long story. But it was like a parallel timeline where things worked out right. You know, what you'd call the good timeline, which introduced me to a self there who was a timeline investigator.
Do you know that there's, like, if you think about it, I mean, now quantum physics is stating, yes, there's parallel universes. So it's easy for me to accept it, that you could be in the one that's turning out perfect. Maybe there's one that was apocalyptic, Maybe there's this one, you know, there's so many different layers, right? And I believe that we can go into those layers and say, okay, well, this is the one where it worked out. So if that person is there, that is still me, I'm still in that parallel universe, I can bring that into this one. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And what my feeling is that, all the other timelines, like the one that we appear to be on right now, which has certain qualities to it. We've spoken about timelines before. For instance, there are certain objects that appear in certain timelines and, you know, which timeline you're on because that's the object that you're commonly using. You know, you might have a staple gun. And on one timeline, it's silver, and another timeline, it's blue.
And it's just changing. Just changing as it's going past.
That's right. Or, you know, you've got two, but on one, you predominantly use one, and on the other, you predominantly use the other. Anyway, these tiny choices that we always make. So in terms of your experiences, because I'm presuming, like Dolores, you're not only helping people, but you're also adventuring yourself, plus your own adventures. What's your experience of parallels?
I think I go into them more in dreamlike states. That's the only way I can say it. Or maybe to the listeners that's making sense, is where I often feel like I'm going into a dreamlike state. And I can see how things would work out a different way, just like you said. You know, even if we're just even thinking about visioneering something, or we're envisioning something, we're literally going into that parallel, aren't we? So you're asking personally, what's my experience with it? God, do we have all night? Right.
As far as you can, you know. as far as your interest is, yeah, we got all night.
Right. Okay. Well, one of the things I would say when we're talking about some of Dolores' work, I'm actually going to go rather down the parallel things. Maybe I can give the listeners a little bit of insight. I'm going to get real personal here, so I hope everybody's okay with it. I believe that in other parallels, we're well or we're unwell. In the last few years, I was given some diagnoses where they said basically I was going to be in a wheelchair. I was going to stay paralyzed on my right side. You know, most of my cognitive functioning was going to be gone. Some nasty stuff. And I was using it to heal myself. When I say using it, I'm quantum healing, parallel healing, because I knew I was well somewhere. I have some interesting days where maybe I'm not doing as well as I would like. But I'm not in a wheelchair. And I'm speaking to you, therefore most of my cognitive functions are firing off. Some may disagree, but hey, you know. And I do feel like there was a place that I was well, and that's where I keep trying to take myself, if that makes any sense.
Absolute
and
sense.
It seems to be working.
So, in one of the, in many of the healings that I've been helping to facilitate with people, healing a particular trauma gives them a particular superpower in some ways.
I don't know if I've had any superpowers yet, but we'll see
or greater perceptions in something. I'm sorry?
Yeah. I find personally, I think all of us have a place that we connect best with. And when I say that, it's an environment we connect. Like mine is often woods, wooded areas that have ravines, streams, those kind of things in them. And when I'm up in those kind of places, when I start to connect with the energy and I can feel the energy and everything like that, there's times when I would swear I can actually hear the earth. Now, okay, that's probably going to put me in the Looney Tunes bin over there. But that is sort of how it feels. It's like I can hear the humming. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah.
And that's my place that I connect. We were talking about Mick earlier. I took him to a place in Spain where I think at first he thought, yeah, I'm just going to go and it's going to be really boring and blah, blah, blah. And I took him to some salt baths and I was trying to tell him, I was like, once you get here, you're going to feel the energy and you're not going to want to leave. But we almost missed our ride home because Mr. Mike did not want to leave. And I think, you know, people always talk about, I know I'm going off on a tangent. You might need to bring me back because I do go off on tangents just a fair
one. They're just parallel realities, that's all.
Absolutely. I, you know, as much as people say that there's always the big energy centers and they resonate with 85% of the population or whatever, I kind of even break it down further and I say there's certain places, like we might go someplace and you're going, oh, can't you feel the energy here and it's wonderful? And I'm like, meh, it's not resonating with me that much. Or I can go to a place and I'll be like, oh my goodness, can you feel the energy? You know, we've got cathedral trees and there's mountains and there's big rocks and it's just grand and can't you feel the energy? And you're looking at me like, not really. And I think it's more than just, you know, what they say about, oh, well, go to Sedona or go to Machu Picchu or, you know, wherever else, even here in England, you know, go to Stonehenge. And I think those resonate with a high percentage of people, but people have their own resonance too. And maybe that's even where we're talking about, you know, going from one parallel universe to another, whichever one you resonate more with may also be where you're resonating here on Earth, in certain places that other people don't resonate. And I think I've just gone down a winding path and lost half your listeners there, but hopefully they're following what I mean. There's big power places.
Yeah, there, Stone Hobbit from the chat room says, you're not alone, humming. She can hear the humming.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you tell mainstream folks that you can go to a certain place and you not only feel the energetic vibration of that place, but you could hear the humming of the earth, they'll look at you as if you just grown another head.
But well, no, it's all vibration. Everything's vibration. And we've got absolutely, no trouble with that here. I'm sorry. I cut you off.
No, I didn't hear what you said, so you go ahead, sorry.
All right, we're saying that, you know, everything is vibration, and mm-hmm. that, you know, vibration is sound and pressure waves and light waves and gamma rays and all that stuff. It's all vibration. So mm-hmm. when you can perceive it, when you can actually hear the sound of the earth, or some people might feel it, or they might feel the hairs on their arms or legs vibrating to that frequency, because that's what they do.
Absolutely.
We're listening in.
And I also believe that each of us, like, different... When I say I wanted to take that further, it's like we'll all have something that resonates specifically with us, too. And it might not resonate with everybody else, but it's our personal place of power. It resonates with our specific frequency, and that frequency matches us better than perhaps some of these so-called big energy centers of the world.
Oh yes, I totally agree. We have a regular guest, Shari Edwards. She's a host as well. Shari Edwards, who heals using sound, and is always, you know, again, it's vibration and frequency, and we all have what she calls a signature sound, our specific frequency.
Absolutely, that would make perfect sense. And when our signature sound matches up with the specific earth sound of the place we visit, which is personal to us, I think that's also when we start to shift. Does that make any sense? It's almost like when the two frequencies start matching up, that's when we get more profound insights, that's when we feel more balanced, and I also feel that's where we're going to get a lot more healing. And it's just that it happens to match up with our personal energy signature. And, you know, that's what we're bringing through.
That's right. Well, every part of the earth has its own frequency, its own ray, its own personality ray, its own soul ray. So it's got multiple numbers of frequencies that are associated with it. And, you know, for instance, if you found somewhere that has, that resonates with your soul ray, you get much higher frequencies, but you can also go to somewhere that resonates with your personality ray and makes you kind of feel at home, you know, at ease, so to speak, like being with people that are kind of like you.
Yeah. And it's just, you're just matching that vibrational frequency. And I think there's certainly, most of us can resonate, you know, okay, when I talked about that place I called home, you know, we're not likely to be able to catch a bus or a train or, you know, hop on a plane to get there. But I think there's certain places within this world or even within a country that you live in that you just feel way more at home at than, let's say for instance, you know, you talked about when we were first coming on about how I was born in Dorking. There's not so much Dorking, but the Shear area really resonates with me. There's places I've been in Scotland that really resonate with me. And there's other places where I'm, you know, been in parts of Glasgow. I'm going, yeah, not so much. Let's go. And I think it's like that gives us that sense of home too, doesn't it? It makes us feel as if that's where we belong. And I'd certainly say that's, you know, very much congruent with what you're saying about the energy rays. It's, there's certain places that will vibrate on that level and make us want to be there. We'll feel like, wow, I could actually live here. I could be here. And other places we visit, we're like, yeah, I don't really like this much. I don't want to get the heck out of here. So I certainly have to agree with you on that point.
Yeah. Well, so, all vibration. So quantum, and quantum healing. And you said something fascinating a little while ago, which was that on one parallel, there is somebody who, you know, or on other parallels, there are people who are sicker than you and people who are better, who are more healthy than you.
Yeah.
That's a very good, do you want to go into that? Because I figured this thing out a while ago. I saw this thing, his name was Goodman. I don't know if you know his name. But he was talking about quantum healing, using that. He called it quantum leaping, just like the TV show. But basically, in your mind, you go into a little room, you press a doorbell, you ask what version of you'd like to connect with, and imagine the door opens and they walk through. And I've done that several times, and it's always had very profound effects afterwards.
I'm going to try to segue and bring myself back, and if I go off on a tangent, please do haul me back in. I've used that with people too, where I don't tell them that's what I don't say, oh, by the way, we're going to do some, you know, quantum work here with you, because some people aren't real open to it. I think your listeners would probably be very much open to it. But you can also do it where you take them into a woodland, and you take them where they get a clearing and there's paths leading off. And you go down there and you're just experiencing different ones. Or like you said, the hallway, where you can not only experience different versions of yourself, but let's say you wanted to make a decision where it's like, oh, I don't know if I want to be an architect or I want to be a rocket scientist, and I'm just using random weird stuff here, or if I just want to be, you know, a yogi kind of thing. So let's try those on, and we go down those hallways and we literally are doing those quantum or parallel jumps, if that's what you want to call it. And we go in and it's like, yeah, you know, the yogi thing has got this and that, but I can really resonate with it here. So here we're going to do the architect. Well, I want to create these monumental things that are, you know, helping humanity. So yeah, I want to do the architect thing, and maybe the rocket scientist or whatever, you know, they're like, yeah, that wasn't really for me either. And you can experience them in that way too. Am I making sense? So it's like the parallel thing. You can use it that way, or you can even use it where you're going into the woodland and each, you know, so it can be where you're experiencing different things before you actually have to do them. But you can do it with the healing too. So one pathway is, oh, I'm really sick there. I don't really want to experience that. So let's get the heck out of there. And one, maybe I am how I am right now. And one, you know, where I'm a lot better. And if I'm asking the version of me that's a lot better, will they have insights? You know, what did you do to get better? Or how did you not get what I have? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I was just contemplating if one could actually go and consciously seek out other selves who were less well off that knew that were needing the things that you learned. Over your experience. You see what I mean?
I think you could do it both ways, you know. if we think of it as like, it's just this real, you know, there's no linear time, right? That's just something that's a construct of man. We just put that there. But there's really no linear time. So if you can jump one way, you can most certainly jump the other. And yeah, you know, if maybe that's something like a, you know, somebody's a yogi or a real spiritual person wants to go back and try to heal them. I think the only thing I'm wondering, and maybe it's just cropping into my head here, maybe, because I also believe that everything that happens to us, there's a lesson there. We need it to grow. We need it to move forward, you know, and we need that level of understanding. Maybe if we that are in the, you know, higher evolved or the healthier or the more advanced, if you want to even call it that, selves that we are compared to, you know, a self that isn't, I think it would also hinge on whether or not they were open to it. Don't you? Because what if you went back there or you went into that parallel and they're like, no, I'm good. I'm good. You know, I don't want to, you know, like the 1950s where they'd have all those alien movies and everything. Ah! You know, so we jump back there and they're like, ah! Oh, my God, aliens. You know, they're freaking out and stuff. So I think it really would depend on whether or not they'd be open to it.
Indeed, indeed. I like to imagine, you know, what it would be like to talk to my past self or future self and have conversations like that. So, we've got about 10 minutes left before a break. So, how do people get hold of you? How do people get sessions with you? Do you do sessions every day? What's the thing? What's your thing?
Okay. Well, to get a hold of me, there's a few different ways you can do it. I have a website. It's Sandy Camera, not Lafferty, because I'm still stuck with that name. Anyway, so it's Sandy, S-A-N-D-I-E, C-A-M-A-R-A, .co.uk. I've got a blog that I've just started putting up, and that's Sandy Camera, once again, S-A-N-D-I-E, C-A-M-A-R-A dot blogspot.co.uk. And then you can also get a hold of me through Facebook. That's just Sandy Camera. I'm trying to think of other ways you can get a hold of me without giving out my phone number on air. And you could get me at my personal, my own private. You can go through my website and there is an email there. It's info@sandycamera.co. But you can certainly get me at sandycamera@gmail.com. So any of those ways that you'd like to get a hold of me. I don't work every single day. I don't do sessions every single day, because I do a lot of writing and stuff as well. But if you want to get a hold of me, by all means, message me. I will get back to you as soon as I can. Please don't ever use Messenger because we've had some issues with Messenger.
It's not very good. That's all I can say. It's just, it's Windows. It's just not very good.
Yeah, because it's like some of the messages you were sending me, you know, I could see the timestamp on them and I'd be like, wow, I just got this morning. You sent this like a day and a half ago. But I mean, if all else fails, they certainly could get a hold of me on Messenger too. That would, you know, just don't expect me to reply immediately, unfortunately. But yeah, that should give them enough ways of getting a hold of me. So there shouldn't be any big problem there. And even if they just want to ask me questions or, you know, maybe have a bit of interest and they're like, I'd like to see maybe what she writes or I'd like to see, you know, maybe have a chat. I'm open to things like that. Yeah, and we could certainly take it from there.
That's fascinating. You know, and, I was, you know, when you said, earlier on, about doing a live regression and that we'd need to set it up, of course. But maybe we could do an off-air recording that might be playable later. If there's anything that might be useful for other people.
Absolutely. The only thing, you know, I do know with, because I have done them on air before, the only thing you can't do is you can't do the induction part. So where you're actually getting somebody into the deep trance. And that's mostly because you don't want, you know, I don't know how many listeners you have, but at that time I didn't want about 50, 60,000 listeners all going into a past life regression that I've got no control over.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That makes sense. So,
and I don't mean it as a control kind of thing. I mean it as in if something happens, I need to be able to assist them. And if I don't know that they're doing that, I can't help them. So, you know, that would be the only caveat there. But yeah, that'd be great.
Cool. So, I mean, okay, talking of things that might go wrong, have things ever, you know, like somebody might be listening on headphones, you put them under, and then their headphones fall off?
I generally tell them don't do that, you know, or I say like, you know, leave your speakers on, because it's just, and usually the headphones and all that, they're not thrashing around. If you put somebody, I don't know how much you understand about the levels you can go into trance. If you put somebody down deep enough, I put them in a catatonic state, right? They're not moving a whole heck of a lot. And that's also because I don't want them jumping up and, you know, thinking I'm like the person they need to attack that was attacking them in that lifetime. I certainly don't want them falling off the couch or the bed or whatever. So you put them down into they call it somnambulism. So basically they're not moving that much. They still have some movement, and you'd be surprised what they will move about it, but they're not rolling around that much or anything like that. So I never really have that problem. Back in the earlier days when I was, you know, kind of stupid really, because it never occurred to me. And I think we've had that conversation where I was playing around. I was like, okay, well, they taught me this, but I've noticed if I do that has a bigger effect on them. So I would sort of experiment on some poor willing victims. So what I have had is somebody came in one time and she was really nervous. And, you know, you'd think I would have clued in, but I didn't. She says, is it okay if my daughter comes in and holds my hand? And I remember I did say to her, well, you know, I'm just a little worried that your daughter might go into trance too. Oh, no, she won't. She'll be fine. And so I left her in the room with me. And then all of a sudden I had two people going through past life experiences at the same time. That was interesting. Oh, okay, what's going on for you? Oh, what's going on for you? Oh, no, you flowed up. Oh, no. Yeah. So yeah. And there was this other, it was actually my poor daughter. I was just in the beginning stages of training, and I was so enthusiastic and so excited over what I could do and how wonderful it is. And we'd never got to the part where if something does go wrong, how to fix it. So, yeah, she went through a pretty bad death scene, and I didn't know how to get her out of it. So, yeah, that was another epic fail. And my daughter is still probably somewhat traumatized from me by that. When I say daughter, please, everybody know my daughter was not a child when I did it to her. But yeah,
we have programs about people experimenting on children like this, but that, no.
She's my child, but she was not a child. I'll just make that extraordinarily clear there. But I'm at the point now with no matter what, there's nothing really that's going to rock me or fizz me. You know, if I'm seeing them going through something, I'm like, okay, what's going on for you? You know, I've got techniques where I can get them to float up and see it as a third party. So if they're no longer experiencing it, I've taken the emotional sting off. If they're in a situation where they're in battle and getting, you know how you said about getting shot? I would make sure that as soon as you're telling me the guy's going to shoot you, or you're saying, oh my goodness, I'm being shot, I would bring you up out of it. And when I say bring you up, I don't mean out of the actual experience or the trance. I would get you floating above it so you don't actually feel it. But yeah, in the beginning, I did a couple of stupid things, and I probably traumatized a couple of people. But I think they love me enough that they'll get over it.
Well, maybe you give me a couple of free sessions in a while. Anyway, shall we take a little break? As you said, Georgia on my mind. So this should, hang on a second. I might not even have loaded it. I've loaded it like an idiot. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. And welcome back. Yes, you're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio. And you're listening to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio, on Ever Beyond Radio, on the Alternative Sunday Service. I almost forgot what I was saying. It's midnight here in the UK, and I'm talking today to Sandy Lafferty, and we're talking hypnosis, regression, and other things. So you were talking about taking calls. What would you, how do you work on calls?
If I'm to do some calls, I need to be able to connect with the person, so either hear their voice or be able to chat with them in a chat screen or something like that. Is that a possibility or no?
Yeah, we can take chat room calls, and we can take phone calls into the studio on 775-773-3431, or if you're in the UK on 0141-356-4141. The phone numbers are on wallspiritradio.com and all plaster road all over the place.
Yeah, I just need to be able to either connect with them through the internet, as in see them typing, and I'll connect that way, and or hear their voice. But I just need to be able to make that jump point with them.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm just going to do it for you.
Well, you could.
You may not mind.
Before anybody's getting to call in, you could always do me, because I'm always open to any readings that you might have, and as particularly why this is hurting so much today.
In the tummy thing, when you were talking about it, one of the things I got it feels to me as if it's like in the intestines. Does that make any sense with you?
Yeah.
Okay. And for some reason, do you have a bit of it going down your back too? Like, does the pain seem to almost radiate or go through to the back?
Not so much. It's kind of more or less all at the front. Okay.
Yeah. How I'm picking it up is like, I feel like my larger intestine is kind of inflamed or something. Does that make any sense to you? So you think
yeah.
Above
yeah, that something? Could be. Yeah. It's the bit that goes right across my stomach. Right across the top of the stomach.
That's the generally the large. I'm running across, like, I've taken some anatomy, and I know that's basically where the larger intestine, the colon actually is what it is, isn't it? And it's there, but it also feels like to me as if it's like going down lower, and I'm experiencing it, if I was to put my hand almost at the tailbone kind of thing, there's a little bit of a twinge there too. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, there's a bit there.
Yeah, so that's where primarily I was feeling. Are you also getting some nausea? Because I kind of feel like I'm like not at the point where I'm so blunt. So
yeah, no, it's true. I'm very nauseous. I was kind of retching earlier.
All right,
yeah, it's kind of that kind of thing.
Because that's certainly what's going on. And I feel like this is more like it's like a bug thing. It's not a you thing. Does that make any sense?
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
I feel like what I'm saying is more of a bug thing. In other words, it's not something that's going to be prevalent with you forever, ever, ever. I feel like this is something that's aggravated something in there. When I'm seeing it, I actually am seeing your large intestines, which is kind of gross, but anyway. I'm seeing it as if the little cilia, the little floaty things in there, they're all inflamed. Would that make any sense to you?
Oh, poor little things. Those little hairs that draw everything along. Why?
Yeah.
Can you ask them why they're inflamed?
I'm feeling like there's something underlying with you, but I want to say that this is like a bug thing that's come on top of it. Would that make sense to you?
Yeah, cool. Yeah, possibly. It would come through a weakness, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but that's what I feel like it is. It's as if you've contracted a viral or a bug or a... You know, there's something else.
Okay. Well, I'll treat it as a parasitical infection and see how that works. And I'll stop taking sugar for a start. Whenever I've got inflammation, oh yeah, I better stop eating the sugar. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, sugar's not really great for inflammation, because it's kind of inflammation. Oh my God, because it does feed on it. But that's what I feel like is if there's inflammation inside of it. But I feel like this is like. There may be underlying things, because I think there are some underlying things. You do experience tummy problems on other times, but this is generated. I keep seeing it as there's a bug in there. Does that make sense for you? So whatever else may have been underlying, this has exacerbated it.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, especially like there's a lot of bugs going around. There's always bugs going around here. And I know people who are nurses and things.
Well, that's probably not good. It doesn't feel like it's like norovirus or anything, but the more I'm connecting with you, definitely the more I'm feeling like I'm quite nauseous here. So
oh, yeah.
That's also what's making me feel like it's more viral or I keep on wanting to say a bug. You've got a bug in your belly.
Okay, good. Good. That way, you know, as long as it's not like, well, in three past lives ago, you were stuck with a cattle prod and it never come out and, you know, something
no,
like that.
No, it doesn't feel like that. I keep on wanting to say to you that I feel like it's like there may be some underlying issues and not something where it's, you know, I don't get freaked out or anything. I think you've got some underlying issues in your gut health, put it that way, but I don't feel like it's permanent. Does that make sense? So it's more like it's sort of innocuous. It's there. It could flare up once in a while, but it's there. But this is caused bug-wise. That's how I would put that one.
All right. Okay. Thank you. That makes sense. I mean, it does feel like a bug because it feels like I'm exploding to eject from all pores, let's put it that way. So it feels better, but it comes with a sort of, nausea as well. So thank you very much. Now, is anybody out there wants to, enjoy the attention of my guest, you can call in on, where are we? 0141-356-4141 in UK and 775-773-3431 in the States of the United. So
can I ask you something quick here too? Can you understand that there is a I almost want to say it's like an eye of a storm around you. So what I'm feeling is if I've got something where it's come forth and there's been, basically that would be the beginning of the hurricane. Everything's died down. There's an uneasy sense that it's going to be coming back up. And for some reason, I feel there's females involved with this. Would that make any sense to you, Jay?
Sorry, you broke up a little bit there.
Unresolved issues that need to come back up in a...
Oh. Well, yeah.
Sorry, I think it's the storms. I really do because I cut right now.
All right.
What I was trying to ask you.
Go ahead.
Is I felt as if you're feeling like, are you okay? Can you hear me?
Yeah, let me just reset the call. Give me a second.
Hello?
It's the storms. It must be the storms.
I think it is because we were really breaking up. I was having a hard time understanding you sometimes there too. I wanted to ask you, I get the distinct feeling that there's been, and said that I can feel like there's, it's connected to females around you too, but there's a sense of there was a storm that erupted, right? Storm clouds were brewing. It's kind of calmed down. But there's that's an easy sense as if it's coming back up for you. Does that make any sense? But it needs to come up to clear.
It needs to come up to clear. That's what I'm, I get the sense of that. It's obviously going to be due to early family issues. Is that right?
Quite probably. But it is really that sense of, you know, when there's that an easy, quiet, you know what I mean? It's like, the only way I can explain it is like the hurricane, right? The hurricane comes, everything's blowing, it's crazy for a minute. It goes all quiet and you go, is it over? I'm not sure if it's over. And then the next part comes before it completely clears. And I feel like that's what you're going to, and I'd ask specifically, is it connected around a female? Because I feel like there's a prominent female that this is connected with.
Yeah, it could well be. Definitely.
Okay. And it feels to me as like once you cross this hurdle with her, it's going to really feel like things are on more steady, calm level with that. Okay, if that makes any sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And there seems to be, with you, it's like there's more than just the one female around her. Can you understand? I felt like there was like three distinct females. Would that make any sense for you?
That's very interesting.
Why?
Because we pulled the Three of Cups the other day. That one you mentioned before.
Oh, okay. But can you connect that there's those three females around you?
Three females. I'm not sure, but there were three females in my life in my very early age. So could it be connected with that?
Yeah, and would this also fit with that storm that needs to clear?
Yeah, well, there is energy around it. You know, all right, I'll expose it. It's my, you know, my sister. It's my sister's birthday today, and I was thinking about her, and I felt, you know, I started feeling very bad yesterday when I started thinking about it. So there's something coming up, definitely.
Yeah,
and yeah, it's also interesting that she also has deep stomach issues too.
And you know what, often when we get stomach issues, one of the things I often find with that, like, it's almost like you're saying to yourself, I'm really sick of this. I'm, you know, this makes me feel sick to my stomach, that kind of things. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
And that's where we're holding all that energy.
Yeah, I think it's maybe a kind of toxic boil thing that might need to come up to be burst.
Yeah.
But it's not feeling great.
Definitely. I mean, the way I saw it was literally as if a hurricane was blowing through, you know, as if it's like, oh, yeah, it's quiet, but I'm not trusting this quiet. I know there's something else coming. And, you know, your analogy of the boil thing would certainly fit too. I also want to ask you quickly here, what is significant about the month of May with you? Is it birthday, death day, anniversary, specific event? Why am I coming up with May?
To be honest, I've got no, not many, well, I've got two Taurian friends, but not in my family, not my family. So that's interesting. There's very little in my family about May. If you like, there's almost a gen, it's 5, 6, 7. It's June. Not much in May.
All right. Well, I'm getting the month of, I'm feeling like I want to give you the month of May. And the other thing that I was getting with that, like, I get it as 4. So if I take you back 4 years, what's going on there? And I know I've got you on air and
Four years. Let me think. You know, well, I was doing the radio, but we were working with Dave. Basically I didn't have so many responsibilities as I do today.
Okay. Because I feel like I want to go back 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's, you know, so that can be like literal for you. It's like 4 years ago it was more peaceful, more calm. I didn't have so many responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I wanted to take you back there. Okay? And the only other month that's jumping out to me right now is September. Does that connect with you in any way? Birthday, death day, anniversary, significant event? No. If you can't place it, Jay, can you kind of take that and put it on, like, your mental sticker? Because I feel like September's going to be a significant month for you.
All right. That's my dad's birth and death day.
It's already a significant month for you. What was the things I said to you? That's cheating. I said birthday, death day.
Yep, all of them.
So, but I also feel like there's another significant, I feel like this is going to be like more of a change kind of thing coming in. For some reason, I keep seeing the number 8. Does that make any sense to you?
Well, not so much. Who's the 8? There aren't many 8th people, there might be a connection, yeah.
Okay, if you can't take it now, I always say, like, if it doesn't come through immediately, sometimes it's something that's going to happen, because I kept hearing the September, and then I hear September, and then I'd see the number 8, as if the number 8 is, so I don't know if we're telling it just the number 8, or if it's going to be September 8th, it's going to be something significant going on there, okay? It's as much as you're saying it's also your father's birthday and death day, I felt like that month's going to be a significant, pivotal, I can't speak. Please forgive me. I'm struggling to talk right now. A significant, pivotal month for you two. Okay? Does that make sense?
Oh, sorry. I've made a note in my diary that September the 8th is said possible significant day. So there you go.
Okay.
Excellent.
Should we try and see if anybody else wants to come in, or do you want
Well, nobody's come in yet. Let me just have a quick look in the chat room to see if there's any questions in the chat room. Apart from Stone Hobbit, who's itchy feet? Not so much itchy feet, I don't think. I have felt like I've wanted to massage my feet to relax this thing, but in a little while I'm going to have. I'm sorry?
You're saying massage your feet to relax.
Yeah. So I had a big bike crash in 1986, and I broke lots of bones and things, and I was very stiffened up, and I sort of managed to kind of unwind myself from all of that, and learn some sort of physical techniques that allowed me to become much more flexible than I was. That's kind of what I do with my feet. It's not quite reflexology, but it's kind of unwinding them, really.
Well, if you're holding the tension and stuff like that, then there too, it can certainly make a difference. For some reason, I don't even know why I want to do this with you, but you know how we were talking about jumping into the parallel and jumping into where we can get the healing?
Mm-hmm.
Would you be open if we did a little jump, or is that going to kind of...
Oh, please, I'd be... whatever, you know, anything that will get me out of this discomfort at this moment would be great.
Okay, so do you know any centering exercises, or you want me to take you right through it?
I can center myself, hang on.
Okay, and as you're centering yourself, I'd like you to just take a couple of deep breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth, in through the nose, out through the mouth. I want you to do that 3 times. And on the last one, I want you to really, really expel that air, like blow it out sharply. And just imagine yourself drifting down, 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 feeling more comfortable, peaceful, and relaxed. Just as though you've been drifting on a soft, fluffy cloud, drifting down deeper, deeper, deeper. And I'd like you to find yourself in that hallway you spoke of. A long hallway, with many different doors, lining either side. And I'd like you now to see yourself walking along that corridor and going to the door that's going to give you the greatest amount of healing right now. And when you're ready, I'd like you to just open the door and begin to move into it, becoming aware of any sights, smells, sensations.
I'm on a breezy, sandy beach.
Okay, and do you see a healthier version of yourself there?
There he is, running along the beach.
Okay. And I'd like you to actually just walk right up to him, or for he is going to be running. And in that healthier version of you, I'd like you to now see it as if you're swirling around him. You remember the old cartoons when there was 2 things running so fast around each other that they suddenly became just 1? I'd like you to step into that healthier version of yourself right now. And I'd like you to ask your healthier self, what have you been doing differently? It's allowed you to experience a vastly more healthy version of yourself. you need to change and what you need to let go of or release. And as you're doing this, I'd like you to see and actually physically now feel yourself putting your hands on your tummy. And now as your new healthier version, you can send that healing energy into your tummy, into this version of yourself. And imagine the tummy settling and cooling. And allow yourself to heal from the positive energy and fear. Version of yourself. And ask, what one thing can you do now that can allow yourself to heal and change this stomach issue that you've been holding on to? And what one thing can you release or let go of that will allow the healing that you require? And when you're ready and in your own time, I'd like you to come back. Find yourself standing in the hallway. Just take another deep breath in and out, releasing the tension and with the negative energy that you can hold on to. Bring yourself right back up into present day awareness. When you're ready, Jay, tell me what was going on for you there.
Well, I actually found myself on, it was very bright, it was like a summer's day, and it was Findhorn Beach, which is close to here. And there was this guy with abs running along the waterside, waterline.
I was just going to ask, did you instinctively know it's you? Because sometimes we don't look exactly the same.
Oh, I certainly don't look the same, but I knew this was, you know, this is the version of me that was fit and physically active. So that's very interesting. I did also, when you said, what can I let go of, is like something about my sister, like that was hooking this in. And so I gave her a Ho'oponopono as a way of releasing, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank you.
Yeah. I do that practice myself.
Yeah.
It works. Why not? Heck, we got to do what we got to do.
Does the job. That's the job.
When you were doing the releasing, what did you actually feel there?
It's not a huge release that I felt. It was just like a very small gurgly thing. But you know, sometimes when you got that kind of pressure of like having flu or something like that, and suddenly it drains, the pressure drops. So it's just a tiny pressure drop, but just enough to take the edge of the discomfort off.
Okay. Sometimes too, I think it doesn't happen like that. It's like if you're feeling a bit of the pressure and then it's working on it and it's starting to release it more and more. But there definitely was that connection with the sister there. Because even when you went in there, it was like, finding out, well, this is connected to my sister. And it's really interesting that she suffers from tummy problems too.
Yeah, she had she had a spleen issue. Actually, we both had spleen. Well, in the bike crash, my liver burst. It hit the side of a car, you know, but, she and I have both had, medical, stuff on our solar plexus area.
Mm-hmm. And was there anything that you were getting given when I said, you know, what one thing could you do to change it? Was there anything that, suddenly I'm the host. Wow. was there any one thing that came through to you when I told you to ask yourself that?
I think really the sugar thing was one of them, and it's just a difference in feeling about being here. Really is a very small action. Not action. It's not an action. It's a sort of intention, desire, body thing.
Sometimes I find when you do something even as simple as that, I mean, obviously I wasn't going to, you're the presenter here, I'm not going to drop you down really far.
Yeah, don't leave me catatonic on front of the mixing desk. Calls coming in, nobody doing anything, I know.
Exactly. So I had to really watch it with that, and I was very cognizant of not wanting you, because I was like, I can't get him down very far. But even if you go on that very, very light, almost alpha brainwave kind of level, and you can experience a little bit of healing, you can use that same methodology yourself. You know, if you just imagine yourself drifting down, you know, deeper, 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 and sometimes even if we count backwards from 10 to 1, and we'll get ourselves to that place again. And the doors thing is fantastic, or, you know, it sounds to me like you could even do it where you're walking along the beach and running into different, you know, versions of yourself. You could do it that way too.
I have to say now it's, you know, been a couple of minutes. It's, the pressure is dropping. The, nausea is falling away a bit. I still early days, you know, sometimes these things come in waves anyway, but, that feels a bit better. Abs. Abdominal muscles. If you wonder what abs are.
You know, what's interesting is like one of the things, and I think that's why I went down, you know, learning hypnosis and taking so many different courses in hypnosis, is understanding that the mind can't really perceive the difference between real and imagined. So if you were constantly to imagine yourself with those abs, your body would move towards it. You do know that, right?
Do you know, I was thinking about this just a few hours ago, that, you know, I had no idea that we'd be going down this path, but literally the idea that somewhere on some parallel universe, there is a version of me that is fit and has abs and, you know, because, I'm not. I have a gnome-like body, let's put it that way. But, you know, on the other hand, who's to say that there isn't a slim, brown, muscular version running along some beach somewhere in some other northern Scotland somewhere?
That's quite possible. But I mean, if you wanted to use it, like, I would say maybe even on a more practical level, rather than having to worry about whether you're going to go jumping into another universe or, you know, whatever. Even if you've seen that image now, if you center yourself and take those deep breaths and keep on visualizing, like seeing that image, your mind really cannot tell the difference. You know, people say, well, I don't think that's true. You say, well, okay, when's the last time if you're afraid of snakes and a snake comes on the TV, you go, ah!
Exactly.
You're watching some horrible show and something jumps out at you. We all flinch, don't we? We all jump. And that's because our minds really can't perceive the difference between real and imagined, because our rational mind should be able to say, well, it's on TV, that was stupid, that's, you know, can't jump out and get you, why would you move? But we all do it. You know, think of the last time you're watching a show where there was something jumpy or spooky or, you know, I don't watch horror films, but you know what I mean, like that kind of genre. And we do, well, why would we do that if we don't, if we're not reacting or responding to that, you know, stimulation there, right?
Yeah, and it's in, you know, the fear is in our imaginations, you know. The best movies, most effective movies are the ones where, you don't see or hear anything. You might, hearing things is usually the one, those little crunching sounds and things like that. Rather than, you know, the gory, splattery sort of bloodstained things that people seem to watch these days. But yeah. I have to say, number one, that when you said center, you have a centering exercise. Do you know what I do to center? I take 3 deep breaths in through my nose and out through my mouth. So there I was. And then you said, and then you take 3 deep breaths. All right. Okay. I'll do that. But anyway, so that got me there. That was very interesting. Cause I remember I opened the door in the corridor, which is a kind of very dimly lit corridor, and it's bright and sunny. And I saw the beach grass, that's what it's called, and the dunes, which is we have here in Findhorn. So it, mm-hmm. you know, so it's very likely, you know, that there would be a version of me here that was doing that. So that's very interesting. That was very interesting. Uh-huh. So we'll see if we can find that version of JP running along the beach, and I'll maybe go for a run in the mornings with him. Just before I get up.
Yeah, exactly. You might as well. Well, since your mind won't be able to differentiate, you might as well do it from the comfort of your own bed, right?
Absolutely. And have you seen the Scottish winter? You know, here we are, we're in the Scottish winter. I was talking about the Scottish summer, which is lovely, and the days are long and bright, but the winter, the days are short and dark.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been up there. Not all the way up there, but you know, I've been in around Glasgow and stuff like that. And I've been there where it's like, well, you're not going home today. Why? Because the winds are so high, it's dangerous to try and drive on the motorway. So like, oh, all right. And you know, been up there, and it can get quite, you know, nasty in the winter. It's comparative though, isn't it? You know, wherever you go, it's always comparative. I mean, come on, we're not living in Antarctica, so.
Why do I live in a place that hurts my face? Oh, spiders, that's why.
What, spiders in Antarctica or spiders in...
The place where, you know, there aren't so many... Well, there are some terrible insects, but there's only one small variety, and they don't last all year. So it's a small... There's a thing called a midgie in Scotland, which is a kind of no-see-ems. You have them in America. And you can't see them. They occur in swarms, and they kind of stick to your face and bite the crap out of your skin. But,
I've experienced the Scottish midges, trust me.
And that's why nobody lives in Scotland.
Well, I don't know. There's places I've been where there's like a hell of a lot of mosquitoes and stuff like that. And I don't know what would be any worse. The malaria carrying mosquitoes or, midges, right? I think I probably picked the midges over that.
Exactly. So the face hurting and the midges. Still better than mosquitoes and spiders. I don't know.
It's true. Or snakes.
But we also have the nice thing about Scotland is you can have cozy evenings in by the fireside and long conversations.
This is true. I've always enjoyed my time up in Scotland. Not necessarily when I'm outside, but certainly when I'm inside. So, there you go.
So, still no calls. Very interesting. Come on, people, call in. We've got about 25 minutes, but, you know, as you're here, it's, you know, and stuff is coming through. Do you have any contact, with, non-Earth entities? We're very ET friendly over here.
Do you mean like personally, do they come around me and stuff like that? Or do you mean?
Yeah, do you get Pleiadians or Lyrans or Andromedans or Arcturians or anything?
Do I personally? I can't really say 100%, but you know, this is going to sound like probably a little bit out there for some folks, and other people go like, no, I can totally relate.
Not for my audience. We're ever beyond, we go beyond.
Whenever I see, you know, the galaxy, the universe kind of thing, right? I always go, oh yeah, that's home. you know, as if that makes any, you know, sense to you when I tell it to you like that. So I do feel like there's a connection, but I wouldn't say I've had any specific alien connections myself. I've often had what I would call more like spiritual entities around me and stuff like that. But I can't actually say that I would have that. However, it's interesting you talk about the Lyrians and that's the wolf thing. And I remember, you know, a few times looking in the mirror and it's almost as if I could see my face would meld. What did they call it? You know I'm not well and I'm not thinking straight here, Jay. When something's superimposed, and I remember looking in the mirror sometimes and it's like, you know how you sort of like, did I just see like a wolf looking back at me? And I've always had a real connection with the wolf spirit. I always say that I'm a lone wolf and, you know, wolf packs and stuff like that, affinity with those kind of animals. Although I lived in Canada, so I got one hell of a respect. So is that basically what you're talking about? Because I can't say that I've ever, I would have ever experienced, to my knowledge, any alien abductions or anything like that. So I can't really speak on that part. I have.
Hello?
Hi.
All right. So we have a caller from, someone from, is that someone from Glasgow?
Yes, it is. It's Mick.
Hey, it's Mick. Hey, Mick. How are you doing, mate?
I'm fine. I'm fine. How are you?
Can you hear Sandy? It's, you may have
yeah,
a bit of...
Yeah, very, very, very faint.
Sandy, very can you come faint. Forward? There's some background, sound, so...
Okay, can you hear me okay there, man?
That's better, that's better.
I can hear you, I can hear you.
Okay, so do you want me to just sort of go through and see what I can pick up around you?
You did earlier on because when you were doing the induction with JP, I actually went under myself.
What happened for you?
Because you were the first person that ever hypnotized me, that's why I just I dropped away.
Oh, Jay, do you know how this started out?
Yeah.
Mike decided that he couldn't meditate and he could never get down there into alpha or theta brainwaves. And we were sitting on the balcony in Spain, and what I did to him is I said, look at the stars, Mike. Look at that one there and look at that one there. Now concentrate in the space in between. And then I just did a body drop down with him, and he's like, what the, what the?
That's correct, yeah. That's right. It's just when you're doing that earlier on, Claudia and I were actually sitting listening, and I'd sort of drifted away. And now I was Claudia says, right, I'm off to my bed now.
Did you have anything go on for you there, Mike?
Sorry?
When you drifted away, did you have anything go on for you?
Yeah. I was actually at the Salinas in Spain.
Oh, my goodness. interestingly
enough. And I was, like, feeling that sort of vibration and that hum. It was very interesting. And then, obviously, when you brought the JP back up, I came back up and I was feeling relaxed. Really good, really good. Incredible. As usual.
Sometimes it's just amazing what just a voice can do, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's like you hear people have had hypnotic inductions, and they don't go under, but sometimes the voice or the same timbre in the voice can actually just send that person off again. So heaven help them if they're driving.
Well, I mean, that's why I don't really, you know, even when I was working with Jay there, I was really reluctant to take him down really deep because I thought, you know, we might have listeners on here that are either going down or if I get him down too far and he's got to operate controls.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on? Mike, are you supposed to be planning a journey or something coming up soon? In or around water?
Near the Mersey, in fact.
Also, this is a work thing too, I think. Okay, well, I'm going to just tell you here. Been some kind of decoration, or you're trying to improve your house, and not just inside, but also on the garden wise, is that correct?
I just wallpapered my bedroom tonight.
Okay. just another quick question here. I just want to know, there seems to be, and I think this is the thing where I was going to go into the work related stuff. I feel as if it's like you've got choices in front of you, but it's almost like you're scared to choose completely because you don't want to put your hand in a pile of snakes, and you're not sure if you're going to be, it's like putting your hand in a treasure chest. Will I get a pile of snakes in there, or am I going to, I'm on snakes tonight, or am I going to get a handful of jewels back out? Does that make any sense to you? It's like I'm really feeling like I'm unsure if the choices I'm making are really clear, and I feel like that's towards your work area. Would that make any sense to you?
Yes, absolutely. There's so many different things that I'm, you know, looking at to do at the moment, and I've kind of narrowed it down a little bit, Andy, but there's certainly a fear of success there. Yeah, a fear. I know people talk about fear of failure, but this is a fear of success, without a doubt.
It's actually more prevalent than what most people believe. Everybody thinks that we're always afraid of, or there's a big fear of failure. And the biggest one often is the fear of success, you know? Yeah. Are people going to take it from me? People going to judge me? People going to talk about me? You know, and it always boils down to that big, big question. Am I good enough? Am I good? Will I be enough? You know what, actually there is, like, you know, with the work thing, is some of these questions that are coming up with whether or not you're making the correct choices. Is there a dark-haired man that has facial hair? All men have facial hair, but I mean actual has some facial hair on him. Is he surrounding in some of these choices there? Because I'm getting him too.
Interesting. I work with, as a colleague of mine, that I work with, Ronan, but he's just, you know, just a colleague of mine, and I can't see someone that I would work with, you know, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Although he's a colleague, I work with him, but it's not someone that I'd work with, and what my focus in on health and well-being is. Although we're both, you know, I'm trained by a chiropractor, and he is a chiropractor at the moment, but I don't see anything. I don't know. It's just, but that's someone I do work with. Loads of facial hair, tall, dark fella. Yeah.
Okay. That's the thing where they're saying, like, the decision of whether you're putting your hand into that treasure chest and grabbing snakes, or are you going to grab jewels from it? That's the feeling I've gotten with those two ones around there too. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it does.
I feel like there's a, you know, I'm also very mindful of, I may be outing people and giving them, you know, telling their stories when they may not want me to. So I'm being very mindful of stuff like that too and what I say. The other thing too is I feel like it's like if I'm talking about the work area, I also feel like there's other journeys that you need to go down. I'm not saying you're going to veer from this path, like your chiropractic or whatever path. But I feel like there's other journeys that are offshoots of that too, and you need to explore some of them until you can get firmly on the chiropractic path, if that makes any sense whatsoever to you.
Yep, definitely. Okay. Definitely. It does. There's a few things that I have to be doing. And obviously I have to stop life getting in the way, but I have to focus on actually doing it. Scheduling it and doing it, and that's actually going to help to fund the chiropractic too.
And I mean, not wanting to out you or anything like that, you've also been finding that money is like, it's coming in, it's going out just as fast, yeah?
Oh yeah.
And I feel like it's like, it's almost like I'm not just even trying to balance things, like, you know, people say, oh, well, trying to balance your finances, everybody does that. But I feel like with you, it's like you feel almost like you're on that teeter-totter kind of thing. Just, would that make any sense? Just like, okay, I got, oh, no, I don't. Okay, I got, no, I don't, kind of thing.
Yeah.
As if you're always up, down, up, down, up, down. you're not even thinking balance. It's either up or down. And even when you're up, I mean it as in you think, oh, I'm going to be okay. And then it sort of slips back where you're the one on the ground kind of thing. And you're going, I'm literally seeing it as a teeter-totter kind of thing. And I feel like that's, you know, sort of going to be carrying on with you for the next maybe like 6 months kind of thing. And then it starts to clear a little bit. But it is really that feeling of not just trying to balance things, but you remember when you're a kid and some little bar steward would jump off the other end of the teeter-totter and you'd come whacking down on your backside? That's kind of what I feel has been happening for you, or that's the feeling that comes around you. Like you feel as if it's like you're up in the air and feeling like, okay, it's going to be cool, and the next thing you know, you're just smacked down on the backside. Yeah?
Yep.
I don't feel like that's really forever. I feel like that's kind of just, I want to give it about 6 months. You're going to be going through that sensation, and then it'll start to clear. So whatever you're cooking up there is probably going to take you about 6 months to get off the ground, and it's also about you getting over this fear of success.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I understand. Totally. That's amazing.
You want to know who's standing in your way, go look in the mirror.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Definitely.
I mean, I'm not saying it like that to be mean. What I'm trying to say to you is
no, not at all.
Everything is there. You have the talent. You have the knowledge. You have the skill. You have the And the thing that's kind of blocking you the most is you.
That is always. Yeah, it's as usual, isn't it? Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Like, just even acknowledging that is like when you're understanding like what's in my way mostly, it is you. And maybe that is where you need to get into the more of the organization or you know, just prioritizing and saying, I'm not going to let this stuff distract me anymore. You know,
yeah, definitely.
I don't feel like there's big blocks in the way of your success other than your own self.
Yeah, that is what I, you know, there's nothing there stopping me physically, emotionally even. There's definitely, it's me stopping it. Yeah, that is without a doubt. Thank you very much.
So what if you did something where it's like you did the countdown, like 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, when you're deciding to do something, give yourself that 10-second countdown and do it.
Yeah.
That's it all.
Yeah, will do. I will do. Thank you.
No worries. Was there anything you needed to ask me, Michael?
No, there's nothing that comes to mind. To be honest, no, there's nothing that comes to mind.
Okay. You don't want any insights on anything. Oh, I feel loved.
It did. Yeah, very much, very much. Because I think after me just kind of going down, and when you were doing that induction with Jay, I just started to feel a bit, and then now I was a little bit tired, so I'm going to go and get some rest now.
All right.
Okay. Thanks very much. And JP, thanks a lot.
Lovely, Mick. It's nice to hear your voice, and I'm going to be playing one of your old songs. I'm going to be playing Traffic after this.
Yay! Wonderful.
Nice one, Manny. All right, good to hear from you. Good night.
Take care. Bye now. Bye.
So there you go. Our mutual friend, Mick Daly, calling all the way from down south in Scotland. So, where are you in Canada?
Oh, I'm not in Canada right now. I'm just outside of Manchester.
Manchester, UK?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Good. All right. So now I know where you are. Right.
Yeah. I'm,
So it's still quite late for you?
Yeah. It's, you know, it's coming up. It's 10 to 1 here.
Oh, thank you very much.
I'm at the same time as you, Mick. Sorry, Mick.
Yeah. So it's always good to have a British-sided show for a change, you know, have British voices and speaking from Britain. But anyway, so that's great. So we've got about 10 minutes time. Obviously, if anybody wants to call in, you can call in very briefly and perhaps arrange an appointment to make a continuation of that if you want to call in. How do people make appointments with you again, Sandy?
There's a couple of different ways they can get a hold of me. You can connect with me on my blog, which is Sandy Camara, SandieCamara, .blogspot.co.uk. You can go to my website, and that is www.sandiecamara, spelled SandieCamara.co.uk. You can go to sandycamara@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm obviously on Facebook, and those are just Sandy Camara. I think Twitter is Sandy Camara 1. But on Instagram, so any of those, if they want to get a hold of me, they can certainly contact me there. I will give a word of warning once again with the Facebook Messenger. For I don't know if it's my computer, but it's doing it on my phone, my PC, and my iPad, so it must be a messenger thing. For whatever reason, I'm getting the messages in a delayed time loop. There you go. I'm getting them in a parallel universe. How about that?
you're in the parallel universe where the computers don't work at all and take hours to work. I go there sometimes as well. Have you, you ever been to the parallel universe where your keyboard feels like rubber?
Or the parallel universe where whatever you were doing on screen, you weren't in that time period and it's wiped.
Yep.
Like, oh my God.
No. Or the parallel time universe where you think that your mouse is in the right box. Anyway, all of those things. So the future, do you have any plans to expand this year?
Yeah, I'm actually in the process of, I'm doing some editing. I've got a book that's coming out, so I'm in the process of editing that. When you're talking about expansion, are you talking about on the material plane, or are you talking about on a consciousness plane?
For a soul, expanding their expression.
I'm kind of playing with the idea of, there's this place in Costa Rica called Redonia, and they do ayahuasca journeying there. And that's something I'm playing with the idea of. And the reason I say I'm playing with the idea of is because I have some, like we talked about, some medical conditions. And it'll either work or, you know, make me feel like I'm going crazy. So those kind of things. I really want to get more into being more on demand, able to go to what I described as that feeling of home. That's certainly something else. And then consistently, just for me, it's always about, you know, what are sometimes just watching something on YouTube and you go, wow, I really got to get into that. Like, I like Joe Dispenza. I like Greg Braden, Bruce Lipton, Maxwell Maltz, anything like that that's going to help us understand just what limitations we're putting on ourselves. That always impassions and excites me, because if we can get the concept that our, you know, our minds are so much greater than what we believe they are, then maybe we can just keep on expanding them. And the more we do that, the more consciousness we're actually going to be bringing into our lives.
That's a great thing. It's an intention to set. So that's great. We're just about out of time. It's been a great journey. Thank you. Thank you to everybody who's contributed in whatever way, psychically, lovingly, because, you know, I can honestly say that panic and pain has gone away. It's a weird thing.
Excellent.
It's lovely. Thank you.
I hope you're feeling so much better. I'll send you some Reiki healing and some energy healing when you get off air. And it's been an absolute pleasure. I thank you so much for the opportunity. Sorry, I've been a little ill, as you both have been. and maybe not on top form, but hopefully I've been able to give some information to some people that will help.
Well, you know, it's just a testament to our healing abilities to keep doing it despite how we were feeling, and that it, in the end, it all became part of the show itself. So I hope my regression, or what do you call it?
I would just say that's just a quick jump. Or to me, that's
a quick jump.
What I just call that was just like an anchoring path or a path, right? You're just going down a different pathway, right? It's a label thing, isn't it? I've heard people say, oh, it's quantum jumping, that's paralleling, you know, it's a parallel leap. They put all different kind of labels on it, but I think if you're used to doing it, it just becomes kind of your mainstream, right? You say, well, I'm out there in other universes or other parallel universes, so I'm just going to go ask them and see what I can bring back, or, you know, do I need to go back into a past life and maybe figure something out, or maybe do some future pacing. And future pacing is not parallel. That's just jumping into your specific future with an intention. So, yeah, I guess that's basically what I would label it as. It's like I just took it down and did some pathway exploring, you know, meeting alternate selves, alternate parallels, whatever you want to call it.
Fabulous. Sandy Lafty, thank you very much.
More than welcome. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Beyond.